Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, as always, good news, bad news, crazy news for conservatives. The good news comes to us from a USA Today poll, which looked at a number of battleground states, about a dozen, actually, which went for President Obama by 8 percentage points in a cumulative way in 2008. And at that time, there was an 11% voter registration ID edge for Democrats, and they won by 8 percentage points. Now that 11-point edge among registration has been whittled down to 2 points. And even perhaps more encouraging, the enthusiasm gap has definitely been reversed. Republicans enthusiastic 61%, Democrats enthusiastic 47%. Now, it's probably a little bit misleading to lump all of these states together from, you know, Florida to Ohio to Colorado and everything, because each of them will probably have their own dynamics to some extent. But the fact that Obama is slipping badly, and we saw pretty good results in the midterm elections and so forth in a lot of these places, means that this is going to be a tight race, even though perhaps some of the Republicans might not be thrilled with our field. Given the performance of the president so far, we're in good shape.
Yeah, this is actually, I think, some of the best news to come along for Republicans in a long time. And it you know, kind of, you know, confirms a suspicion some of us have had that, look, we know the chances are there's really not a good chance Republicans are going to carry California. There's not a good chance they're going to carry New York. You know, a good chunk of New England is looking tough. However, there are a bunch of states that are fairly competitive and better for Republicans. And so the idea that, you know, when you see Obama looking okay in these head-to-head matchups, how much of that is driven by, you know, having a big lead in the more liberal states in the country? As we all know, under the Electoral College, the swing states are that really the ones that really determine the presidency. And so seeing both Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich ahead in the head-to-head matchups in the swing states is good. And I think it's really good news for Newt. And everybody who considers me a Romney bot should pick, you know, underline and play this back a few times. So you think I never say anything nice about Newt. The argument for Romney for much of this time has been electability, and that he has been the one who has matched up against President Obama best in the head-to-head matchups. Well, there's only a 2-point difference in these swing states, and Gingrich is still ahead. And so it really doesn't matter if you win by 1% or if you win by a bunch of percent. I believe Romney is up 5, and I think Newt is up 3. Obama's in the mid-40s in these swing states, and that adds up to probably losing a bunch of them. So very good news for Republicans, particularly good news for Democrats. Certainly it's not bad news for Romney. And so we'll have to see, and you're right. You know, the head-to-head matchups in each individual state will give us a sense, but the fact is, look, it's going to be a much more competitive environment than 2008. It kind of has to be for Republicans to have any chance.
Right.
But, you know, the table is set. You know, the stage is set, and now we got to see what shakes out over the course of the next year.
Yeah, the table is set. On some level, the Republicans have to run most of it. Even if they pick up Virginia, North Carolina, Florida, and Ohio and Indiana, they're still a little bit short, so that means there might be a big push in Pennsylvania. Colorado's potentially in play, Iowa. So this idea that some conservatives have out there that it's going to be a landslide, the map doesn't necessarily tilt that way, but it does show a decent chance to do that if, in fact, some of these numbers hold up and even keep moving in the right direction. So let's hope that that's the case. On to the bad martini. And speaking of President Obama, he held a joint press conference on Monday with the Prime Minister of Iraq, Nouri al-Maliki, to basically announce that the war was winding down, which we knew at the end of the month. And the president said, Jim, that this is a great day because the war is coming to an end. Our troops get to come home, and the Iraqis are on the path to sovereignty, we hope. And he just forgot to talk about one thing. Did we win? Because it's pretty clear that Saddam's gone, we defeated al-Qaeda, and Iraq is on the path to sovereignty. I'm pretty sure those were some of the big goals going in.
It is. I'm going to say this is a bad martini one. My gripe is not just the lack of the word victory in Obama's remarks. First of all, with yesterday's event, he might as well have just said, hey, remember what I did in 2008, the Iraq war, what you were really, really upset about? Well, I fixed that. So give me credit for it and give me a second term. I mean, he might as well have been as blunt about that. Apparently, he mentioned the war is ending no less than 5 times in his opening statement. I'm going to read to you just the last sentence or two from the Washington Post assessment of Obama's remarks. And they said, Obama's virtually unqualified support for Mr. Maliki is consequently unsettling. Success will require continued and concerted U.S. engagement, not rosy declarations about a mission accomplished. You could almost hear the oof from David Axelrod and every other liberal anti-war Democrat groaning upon they hear that particular phrase. They will probably be screaming bloody murder that Obama never said that. And in fact, probably maybe, you know, the memory of that infamous banner, which was placed on the aircraft carrier and represented the mission was accomplished for the aircraft carrier, not that the total U.S. mission was accomplished, is, you know, rather, it's turned into this urban mythology that Bush had declared mission accomplished. Nonetheless, I think the idea of somebody saying, you know, we've done what we need to do and then watching things fall apart has been kind of the nightmare scenario, both for the political aspect and kind of the, you know, the geostrategic aspect for the United States. So I think Iraq, you know, we're going to have to watch that very closely. U.S. involvement is going to have to end at some point, and I hope this is the right point, but by no means is there any certainty that we've gotten a good, stable, secular ally out of this, and, you know, we'll have to hope that things turn out for the best.
Yeah, certainly the influence of the Iranians in terms of terrorism and IEDs and all this other stuff and the influence they've had on trying to destabilize Iraq, my guess is that's probably going to increase, not decrease, once we're out for the most part. But we'll see. Hopefully the Iraqis can secure themselves. On to martini number three now, and back to the economy. And, well, let's just say that we've chronicled several different times in recent months that Democratic National Committee Chairwoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz and reality aren't very good friends. They don't spend a lot of time together. She was on Fox and Friends, I believe this is Monday, with Gretchen Carlson, and they were talking about the jobless rate.
Longer
unemployment
has
gone up precipitously since he took office.
That is simply not true.
Yes,
in fact, unemployment has now dropped below 9%. It's continuing to drop.
Yes.
He's been focused on trying to...
But it's higher than when they promised that the stimulus would lower it to 8%.
See, that narrative doesn't work for you anymore, though, because when...
It's
President
not my narrative. I'm just talking about facts of where the unemployment numbers are.
You just said that the unemployment rate has been going up since he took office, and it hasn't.
Is unemployment higher now than when President Obama took office?
What's happened since President Obama took office?
Is unemployment higher than when he took office?
Unemployment is nearing right around where it was when President Obama took office, and it's dropping.
Okay.
You just said that it's been increasing, and that's not true.
First of all, that's not what she said. She says it has gone up precipitously since he took office, which was somewhere in the mid-7% range. We're at 8.6%. A full point is a pretty good jump. And, of course, it got up to 10% at one point and spent a lot of the last few months at 9% till we got this drop to 8.6. And we've chronicled how this kind of black market economy is kind of working on this. And there's still a lot of people who have just given up the search. Nonetheless, it has gone down a little bit. But the idea that this is no longer a talking point for Republicans is insane, Jim.
Well, I mean, it's Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Come on, grade on a curve, Greg. You know... It's not fit. Math was never her center, you know, her big subject. Look, first of all, so let's just go through the numbers. Okay, so it was 7.8% the month Obama took office. If you want to say that doesn't really count because he wasn't really in office, okay, fine. Let's say 8.2% February 2009. Since then, it peaked in October 2009 at 10.1%. It was around 9% for a really long time until the month before last. And last month, we were told it was 8.6%. However, worth noting that a good, you know, like 300,000 out of the last, out of the, you know, 500,000 jump that we, or number change that we saw last month came from people leaving the workforce. And we are now probably a good, you know, 5 million people are not in the workforce who should be based on the past trend that have basically dropped out of the workforce. In just November, that's, you know, 461,000. I got to go back and check the precise numbers of discouraged workers in this category. I you know, regularly post this video I made back in 2010 that kind of illustrated this phenomenon. If we had the same size workforce that we did right when Obama took office, the unemployment rate would be probably closer to 11.3%. Has it gotten significantly worse in the past year? No, we probably have seen a little bit of improvement. But look, this is called bouncing along the bottom. Okay, we hit bottom. So I hope Democrats go out and start insisting the economy is fixed. I hope they start insisting the economy that unemployment is not high and that, you know, we should all be dancing a jig, because I can think of few things that would undermine their support than to say, who are you going to believe, us or your lying eyes? So I hope that is the Democrat message from Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the rest of her party come 2012.
Yeah, in the race towards the middle, which is generally the conventional wisdom for the general election, having Debbie Wasserman Schultz as the party chairman is a godsend for the conservatives, because Reince Priebus comes off as immensely more reasonable and fair-minded than Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who honestly has a narrative that defies the questions she's even being asked. She's just out there to basically spread propaganda. So the more she's on, the better, as far as I'm concerned. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Wednesday for the next Three Martini Lunch.